doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs, actually, and keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Ira Bashatsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals. And we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and Ira. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christine Dolan, and I am honored today to have Senator Ron Johnson with us on the show. Senator, welcome to the show.
Well, Christine, thanks for having me on.
Senator, you know, I've been covering human trafficking all over the world for about almost a quarter of a century. And I take a look at our border, and I investigated our border back in 2012, 13, 14, when President Obama was in the White House. And I've seen the increase since then during the Joe Biden's administration. I saw a drop during President Trump's administration. And I'm concerned because we've never seen anything like this here in the United States. We've never seen, you know, nearly 8 million, whatever the numbers are, 6, 8, 9 million people come in 4 years. And we've not only lost, you know, people, whether it's 8,500 people, I think the numbers are higher than that. But I'm very concerned about the people in America not paying attention. What are you seeing in terms of the human trafficking, you know, in Wisconsin? Because I know that you have Nicaraguans and Venezuelans in rural areas. We know about Denver, LA, New York. But what is it that you're seeing out there? Because I know that you were briefed about 4 months ago.
First of all, it must be an order of magnitude worse than it's ever been. I remember when General Kelly, when he was head of Southern Command, and I was chairman of Homeland Security, this is probably 2015, we took a trip down to Central America. And in Guatemala, they took us to a center, a shelter for sex trafficked little girls. Mm-hmm. I mean, little girls. I think the youngest was 11 years old. And so that's where, you know, my mind really became expanded, and I became aware of how an illegal flow of migration facilitates the multi-billion dollar business model of some of the most evil people on the planet. And that was 2015. And of course, what sparked all this was President Obama's DACA, mm-hmm. the Deferred Action on Childhood Arrivals. Those memorandum, I think they were probably illegal. And we'll see how that all gets sorted out in the courts. But that's really what sparked the now more than decade long crisis at our border, which President Trump had to deal with, but he did deal with it. He developed the Remain in Mexico, the Migrant Protection Program. He had to threaten the president of Mexico with trade tariffs for him to actually cooperate, other agreements with Central America. And over a 12-month period, he went from a peak of about 5,000 people a month to about 500 people a month coming in. It's still too many, but a lot better than what we experienced, for example, last December, where it was 10,000 people a month. And so what you're alluding to, I was called down to Whitewater by law enforcement down there. I described the issue that a small city there, I think they're 15,000 in population. And again, I was meeting with city and county officials. So it was kind of hard to figure out exactly what the numbers are here. But there were a couple hundred, for example, migrant school children in the schools. They speak a different dialect of Spanish. And so the bilingual teachers can't understand them, so they have to hire to the tune of $100,000 plus additional interpreters. Same thing happens with law enforcement. Their calls with illegal migrants take two or three times the manpower and time, because they can't understand. And so again, that's just a demonstration of how this is going to overwhelm our school systems, our law enforcement, other public health and public safety individuals, without even talking about the sex trafficking, the human trafficking, the drug trafficking, which is a plague and primarily is under the radar. We really do not know the full magnitude. As I traveled around the state of Wisconsin, I'm trying to get a feel for what is the migrant population, and people simply don't know. They see how drug trafficking has exploded. We used to have a drug trafficking hub in Chicago. Now we have multiple drug trafficking hubs throughout Wisconsin. It's an indicator. It's anecdotal. Nobody's keeping track of this. Certainly not the federal government, because the Biden administration, they don't want to know. And they're certainly not telling Congress. For example, just DHS is very opaque, not transparent at all with just apprehension numbers, that type of thing. It's like pulling teeth to get that information. So collectively, the Biden administration, I would say most of the mainstream media, which is why the Biden administration is getting away with this. Let's face it, most of the mainstream media, that they're the mouthpiece, the communication wing of the Democrat Party. They've been covering up for Biden. They have not covered this catastrophe at our border until Mayor Adams and Mayor Johnson in New York and Chicago finally started saying that the sanctuary city thing wasn't working so well. It was going to destroy their cities. The mainstream media was almost forced to start covering this. But again, the record numbers in December have now eased somewhat. I think they're back up in February. It's not a main news story in mainstream media still.
Well, it is, you know, I've been around for so long that, you know, I remember back in the 1980s, Alan Simpson and Mazzoli, they passed the Simpson-Mazzoli immigration bill at that point in time. And I was at CNN, Peter Arnett and I did the 10-part series on the immigration situation. And at that point in time, the law was that if you were an employer and you hired somebody that was illegal, that you could be fined. And we didn't enforce that. But we've never seen these kind of numbers. And, I always laugh at some of my friends who think, well, you know, these poor people, they're coming to America, they want jobs. But this is different because we have over 100 different countries represented coming across the border. It's very well orchestrated. I know for a fact, and I say this as somebody who's raised Catholic, I know that the Jesuits from St. Louis are actually going down to Brownsville, and they're going over to the other side of Mexico and actually escorting some of the people across the border here to the United States. Why is it that we are not, and I know it's hard to do, it's hard to figure out, you know, how many cars the U.S. government actually owns. I mean, people told me that many, many decades ago. But why is it that we can't get an accounting on this, on the money flow? Because we know that there are some charities, whether they're Lutheran or Catholic, they're getting some of these people. We know that the Biden administration last May, in fact, changed a policy so that if an unaccompanied child is delivered to an apartment or delivered to a charity, that, you know, we're not checking people out. I mean, I just think it's unconscionable in this day and age that we're not figuring out where these unaccompanied children are being, you know, who they're being turned over to, and there's no vetting process for this. Why? I mean, it's so out of control. Are people not paying attention on Capitol Hill?
No. I know this is partisan, but it is partisan. Okay. You have the Democrat Party that want an open border. They want an open border. They caused this. And so when you have that party who wants an open border that caused this in control of the administration, again, they control the information flow. So you're right, these non-governmental organizations, that they're located now right down to the camps in the Darien Pass in Panama. One of the more famous camps that you're reading about now is, Chinese.
Right.
It's populated primarily by military-aged men, Chinese military-aged men. But that's not the only nation. It's over 150 nations. So many of these are adversarial to us. They can flow into the United States completely undetected in many cases. I mean, you got about 2 million gotaways, known and unknown. Again, we don't know who these people are, but they've been detected. But a lot of them are unknown gotaways. They weren't even detected. Who are these people? 2 million people plus. And so when you see what happened in Israel, for example, on October 7th, you know there are people that want to kill Americans globally. And we're just opening up our border to people who have that viewpoint, that have those desires. It is absolute madness. And the only explanation I have for it is basically what Elon Musk has been tweeting about, is that regardless whether these illegal migrants are allowed to vote, and you know the Democrat Party is trying to get them to vote, either legally in places like New York in local elections, or illegally by sending out mail-in ballots, absentee ballots, relax all the controls on those things, even if they're not able to vote illegally, they're going to be counted in the census. And so those Democrat jurisdictions, by and large, that attract the illegal migrants are going to get more representation in Congress. They are the only explanation for this, and again, this is such a clear and present danger to America. This is such a catastrophe, not only for Americans, for our homeland security, but for the migrants themselves, the women that are there sex trafficked. I mean, how do you think a young woman pays off her $5,000 to $7,000 to $15,000 human trafficking fee? They get put into the sex traffic business. And so, I mean, this is a catastrophe. What other explanation do you have for it that you'd have one party that is pretty much universally on board with this issue? And why do I say that? Because, we offer amendments to just complete the wall that we've already bought and paid for. It's costing us more not to build it than complete it. And virtually every Democrat senator in the United States Senate voted repeatedly not to complete that wall. During the last, appropriation process here, these minibuses, we had multiple amendments that would deny funding for sanctuary cities that don't honor ICE detainers. Now, again, those are detainers on criminals who are in this country illegally. They should be turned over to ICE. They can be deported. And Democrats vote, oh, no, we're not going to do that. I guess they're happy with the illegal immigrants committing crimes and never being held accountable. It doesn't make any sense to me, but that's just the reality of the situation. So the reason this is happening is you've got one party backed up by a mainstream media that is basically their communication arm that wants an open border, and they're causing this. This is purposeful. This didn't just happen on Joe Biden's watch. He reversed all of the actions that President Trump took to secure the border. He used that exact same executive authority. So he has the authority to close the border. He used that authority to open it up.
So let me go back to your meeting. When you met with the law enforcement a couple of months ago and you held this press conference, when I was watching the tape of that in preparation for this interview, I was struck by, because I thought it was a well done interview, and obviously the press didn't ask you some of the questions I would have asked you, but I'm struck by people not understanding the impact on the local level, because what the police officers were saying is we don't have enough people, and the dialect is very important, because some of these people, if you're coming from Antigua in Guatemala, you might be coming from the hills of Guatemala, from the mountains, and it is a different dialect than what you have in Guatemala City. When people run into that on the local level, do they understand what's happening in terms of whether it's, I mean, the teachers have to know this, the principals have to know this, the cops see it, but why is it that, this is more philosophical than it is political. Why is it that the American public does not have this resonating with them? Because it's a huge economic impact for any small area.
Because other people are having to deal with it. Law enforcement. I mean, most of us don't have to pick up a dead body off of after a traffic accident. That's right. What law enforcement has to do. Okay, and our educators, they handle it. This is an interesting aspect of that meeting, though. I wanted the meeting with the law enforcement to be open to the media. What you saw was after our hour long meeting, then we held a press conference.
Right.
But the local officials didn't want to have the entire meeting where they're giving me all the information. They didn't want that open to the press, primarily because this is a small college town. The politics are quite liberal. And for example, the chief of police to be talking in any way, shape, or form, that might be interpreted as he's denigrating illegal immigrants could harm his ability to potentially get reelected. So they were very concerned. I'm actually concerned talking about it right now. I don't want to, put that chief police job in jeopardy. But he was concerned about that. So you've just got this backdrop of the left that, for whatever reason, celebrate illegal immigrants that are completely ignoring the sex trafficking, the human trafficking, the drug trafficking, and the harm done to the migrants. Remember, President
It's heinous.
We're all talking about how inhumane President Trump's closed border process was. So they were going to be more humane and open up the border, again, facilitating the multi-billion dollar business model of these, some of the most evil people on the planet. There's nothing humane about an open border.
What is, were the church leaders in that town in Wisconsin?
Well, I didn't meet with them, but you are right. I've met with Jesuits. I've met with other of these non-governmental organizations. And you know, listen, their heart's in the right place. Now, I go down the border. I see the sisters who are taking care of the poor, the tired,
It looks good. It looks good, Senator. But well, you know, but it's not. But it's not exactly. I mean,
But I've been down to the border. My first staff director was when I was chairman of the committee. A young woman with young children. She would go down the border with me, and she had a very difficult time going there and looking at the migrants, because you have nothing but sympathy for the vast majority of them. You've got young women, some of them fully pregnant, because again, they want to exploit our, birthright citizenship, which by the way is crazy. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're exploiting that. So you see all these young women, you see the little children, your heart goes out to them. I mean, listen, I have sympathy for people who want to make a better life for themselves, but it has to be a legal process. And you have to recognize that the illegal migrant flow creates all kinds of depredations and human degradation. It's horrible what's happening to these people. This is not a humane system.
Well, it almost is like it's a war zone. It's a war zone where what looks white is black. What looks black is white. It's chaotic, and it's people are not intentionally not telling the truth. All right, Senator, I want to take a break. And on the other side of this, I want to get into some more of this topic. All right, we're back with Senator Johnson. Senator Johnson, what is the conversation behind closed doors up on Capitol Hill about the human trafficking? Because, Wisconsin is not the only state that has this influx of migrants in rural areas. We're seeing it in Tennessee, we're seeing it in Maryland. And I know that I just happen to be in Tennessee right now and on the road. And I know the people down here are talking about busloads of people coming into East Tennessee in the middle of the night. They go into Walmart, they buy whatever they want to buy, they get back on the bus, but nobody seems to know where they're going after that. How much subterfuge is there that you're hearing about in these pockets in the rural areas? Do people in Wisconsin know where the immigrants are staying?
I would say no, by and large. I mean, when you go to Whitewater, they talk about 12 or more individuals in a small little one room apartment, mm-hmm. A family in the dead of winter in some outbuilding on a farm with a little electric heater when it's, below zero temperatures.
I'm David Cross, and you may know me from my election integrity work, but I also own U.S. Asset Management, a family-owned and operated investment advisory practice. I'm a certified portfolio manager, and my job is to help you make better decisions with your money. One of the things we try to avoid is investing in companies that push the woke agenda. If you're invested with one of the big firms out there, there's a pretty good chance that you're feeding the beast that hates your values. Our company is 100% conservative, and we'd love to have an opportunity to work with you. Check us out at us-am.com and look for our big, proud American Eagle logo.
So again, this is all under the radar. Other people are dealing with it. A very small segment of American society is in law enforcement or necessarily even in education where they might see this. So most people, because the press isn't reporting it, there's not a drumbeat about the human depredations caused by this illegal flow. Most people are just ignored. They go on with their lives. They just assume government's going to solve this problem. But up on Capitol Hill, I think the issue you have is, again, because it's a partisan issue, Democrats are completely ignoring it. They don't want to hear it. And I'd say Republicans are just kind of resigned to the fact that we can't pass a bill. We can't force this administration to take these human depredations seriously. So It's all got to be about the 2024 election, where we get hopefully a president who actually wants to secure the border and end these depredations. But so it's just a level of resignation. I'll also say, because the McConnell gave Democrats political cover with that awful bill that he basically negotiated, that would have made problems worse. It would have actually reduced the presidential authority of somebody who's serious about securing the border. So that was a debacle.
What is, I recently spoke to a man who was trafficked over 50 years ago. He was one of 14 children. He was a Mexican migrant family, and he was 4 years of age. And he grew up in Arizona, and he was kidnapped at the age of four by a white couple, and he was trafficked on migrant farms. And he was saved by Cesar Chavez years ago. And he's come forward, he's written his story. And Antonio's story is extraordinary because one, because it's so old. Two, he's healed and now he represents migrants. And he's also a man of faith. And but what I found to be, you know, so heartbreaking is that it's as old as the scriptures in terms of people taking advantage of people who are in marginalized situations, which I think that people can understand that if you're impoverished, if you're addicted to drugs, if you're coming from an abusive situation, those are marginalized situations and that put people at risk. And I'm disheartened about Americans because for some reason, we think that we're better than the human race, but we're really not. We're all part of the human race and we take advantage of people. But I'm having a hard time understanding why the American public doesn't understand that we actually have people who are in power who make domestic and foreign decisions that actually increase human trafficking. During the Obama administration, during Arab Rising, there was an increase of human trafficking overseas. It was not spontaneous. It was planned. Our USAID, when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, with the nod, wink, and the blessing of President Obama then and Leon Panetta, went out and we trained some civil societies, but they were really civil dissidents, on social media to overthrow the despots that we wanted to overthrow, meaning Mubarak and Gaddafi. And then we played it out with DACA, as you said earlier, on the southern border at that time. And now we have millions of people coming across the border. And you cannot have a migration unless you have coordination. We saw this when it happened in MENA, the northern part of Africa, into Europe during Arab Rising, where people would have their cell phones and they would have apps. And we figured out that they got their SIM cards through the non-government organizations that were paid for by Source, thank you very much, given to these people. And on those phones, they had apps. And the apps said, this is how you get to Sweden. This is how you get to Germany. These are the social services that you can ask for when you get to those two countries. We see this on the border now that people have their apps. We see the trucks come over to the border on the other side of Mexico, driving people up, dumping them. So there is a logistical question here. What is it that needs to be done from the Senate side to the Mexican government? What is it you guys can do without having to go through State Department? Is there any way that you can talk to these people and say, what are you people doing on this? Because they see it on the other side as well.
So what really needs to happen, Christine, is I appreciate the fact that you're a real journalist. There aren't many of you left.
We're trying.
what we need is an honest and unbiased media, a media that will hold both sides equally accountable. We don't have that now. And so you're never going to get the government to come clean because they're the ones that caused it. You're never going to get the Democrat Party come clean because they caused it. You know, Republicans like me that, you know, we can scream from the top of the mountaintops and, you know, we just get marginalized as a bunch of cranks and a bunch of conspiracy theorists. So until you have an honest and unbiased media that is looking at this, that are reporting these stories time and time again, night after night after night, that's what it takes to awaken the American public. But as long as you have a media that is not only, cheerleading, but I mean, they're just part and parcel of the Democrat and the radical, and I'll call the radical left. We're just not going to get that type of outrage. So this doesn't have to continue. This shouldn't have gone this far. But look, but this has been going on now for over 3 years. And the Biden administration, even though they realize that this is going to potentially harm them in the election, they're not backing away from this. They're not taking any kind of extraordinary measures to clamp down this. You know, they sent Anthony Blinken, Mayorkas, to Mexico, slowed it down a little bit. But now you've got the president of Mexico basically blackmailing America, saying, well, you know, we'll slow this thing down if you guys do X, Y, and Z. I think part of it is like $20 billion into Central America. So the president of Mexico is basically blackmailing the Biden administration, cough up more money, or we're going to let this flow continue. So, but again, I will, a free press, honest and unbiased media is so crucial to a republic. And we don't have, and that's, it almost starts and ends right there in terms of, again, I'm not absolving Congress's responsibility. I just don't have much respect for Congress's ability. I mean, we have so diluted our constitutional authority. We have so passed the responsibility by creating these laws that really aren't laws, they're frameworks to let the executive branch fill in all the gaps, make all the decisions. So we're basically unaccountable. We don't do oversight. We just spend trillions of dollars we don't have, and we don't really want to do oversight in terms of how it's all misspent and how that's mortgaging our children's future. So don't look to Congress to solve these problems. Until we have a media that is putting pressure on Congress to solve the problems.
What was your pivotal moment, your epiphany moment about the human trafficking at the border? What was the story that you said, oh my God, this is out of control?
Well, it was going down to Guatemala. And you go to a little shelter for sex trafficked little girls. You see the cribs that they have set up because these little girls also get pregnant. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty eye-opening. And you do, and that's a bipartisan trip. I went down there with Democrat Sanders as well. They saw it. I was on the border, and you know, we're being described how because of the I don't want to get into all the detail. The floor is reinterpretation, all that type of thing. But you cannot detain children, and so what's happening is less uncoming children coming, and people are forming families. They're fake families. They're selling children for $81. You know, we've had that testimony from our committee. They sell children for $81 to form a family. We're down there in the border with Democrat colleagues, and we're seeing this little, I don't know, 12-month-old little girl squirming in the hands of like a 50-some-year-old. I mean, I do not think that was that child's father, okay?
That's right.
And you just kind of understand, and you just, there's like nothing I could do about it other than tell the story. And it obviously didn't move my Democrat colleagues enough to try and clamp this thing down and buck the Biden administration and tell them, President Biden, you have to close the border. You can't allow this to continue to happen.
You know, so
yeah, back in 2015, 2016, before the explosion of Trump, then he secured the border. And then Biden opened back up, orders of magnitude worse than it ever was.
You know, I just want to cite some questions here so people understand the relative. Under Obama, I think that the annual number for unaccompanied children was somewhere around 36,000 per a year for unaccompanied children. Under Trump, it dropped to about 15,000 unaccompanied children. And then under Biden, it's 136,000 annually. So those numbers of unaccompanied children are extraordinary in terms of, on an annual basis. So under Obama, it was 36,000. Under Trump, it was 15,000. Under Biden, it's 136,000.
But that understates the problem here because a lot of those unaccompanied children now form these fake family units. Right. 70% of those unaccompanied children, they're not little two-year-old waifs. They're 15, 16, 17-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Military age men, I mean, they claim to be 17 years old, and some of them are 23, 24, 25. So again,
and
completely distorted.
We need to tell the audience why they do that, because if you're a minor, it's a different acceptance into the program. That's why the 23-year-olds will say that they're really 18.
You can't be detained. You know, you got to be released into the interior within 20 days into the hands of HHS, who then loses track of you.
All right. So my last question about this human trafficking situation at the border, Senator Mayorkas, is he going to get impeached or not? I mean, they've already started the ball on that, but is it going to come to fruition?
So he's been impeached by the House. We probably won't even hold a trial in the Senate. It sounds like Schumer's in. He has the blessing of the parliamentarian to not even hold a trial. They'll just vote to table it, and we'll move on. That's right. You know, we'll obviously squawk about it. We'll try and offer kind of blocking motions, but in the end, it sounds exactly what they're going to do. They won't even hold a trial of Mayorkas. Not even a special committee set up to hold a trial.
You know, once again, there's no accountability. Now, the one thing I want to say, and I learned this last night, we know about the fentanyl that's coming across the border. But I heard, and this is somebody that lives in St. Louis who went to a briefing out there with some cops. I heard, and I don't even know how to pronounce this drug. It's Nitozme. I guess it knocks you out. But that is a new drug. It just knocks you out when you take it, which means to me that it's like a date rape type of drug. Is that showing up in Whitewater or any place you've talked?
I haven't heard about that. What is interesting, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, a big problem in, you know, rural counties were these meth labs, right? Mm-hmm. Why you have to give an ID on Sudafed and that type of thing. But that's not a problem anymore because it's a lot cheaper to just bring it in from Mexico. So the meth labs are shut down. I guess say that's a good thing. The bad thing is you're getting a lot more and a lot cheaper meth coming across the open border.
Senator, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.